Scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of God. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at thy presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make thy name known to thy adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at thy presence. When thou didst tremble, terrible things we looked for, thou camest down. The mountains quaked at thy presence. From an old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides thee, who works for those who wait for him. Thou meetest him that joyfully works righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold that thou wast angry, and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There's no one that calls upon thy name, that bestirs himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast delivered us unto the hand of our iniquities. Yet, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter. We are the work of thy hand. Be not exceedingly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, consider, we are all thy people. This ends the reading from God's holy word.
Well, folks, we're having microphone problems, but I trust you can hear me. Can you hear me all right? Yeah. All right, I'll try to speak loudly. We're reminded this morning that this is the first Sunday in Advent. And Advent always begins in darkness. It always begins with cries of lamentation and feelings of God forsakenness. It was C.S. Lewis who once wrote that the Christian faith is a thing of unspeakable joy. But Lewis reminds us that it does not begin with joy, but rather it begins with despair. And it's no good, he says, trying to reach the joy without first going through the despair. And that's what Advent is about. Advent is a time of watching, it's a time of waiting and preparing ourselves to celebrate the joy of the Christ child coming into the world. I know it's always tempting right after Thanksgiving to rush headlong into the joy, to rush headlong to the coming Christmas season, a joy that is often manufactured by our glittering lights and decorations and various commercial inducements. Many of us, if you're like me, can't wait to get into the Christmas spirit. But that's what I like about the season of Advent. Advent, in its wisdom, always asks us to wait just a little bit, to slow down, to be honest about the darkness and despair that often characterizes our world and often characterizes much of our lives. That's because it's only by sitting in the darkness that we can come to appreciate the light and the joy of God coming to be in our midst. The prophet Isaiah that we read this morning knows a thing or two about darkness. He knows a thing or two about despair. We often repair to the prophet Isaiah during this time of year. Often we read his broad visions of God's coming future, a future where lions and lambs lie down together, where swords are beaten into plowshares, and a feast to end all feasts occurs on God's holy mountain, where everyone is invited and there's enough for everyone. But in our reading this morning, even the prophet Isaiah himself is at the end of his rope. The Israelites have been 50 years in captivity, deep in Babylon. But now they're back in their own land. things don't look very promising. The land has been laid waste. The temple has been destroyed. And Israel's enemies are still in control. It's a very dark, dark time for God's people. And if that isn't bad enough, there's no sign of God anywhere. Not in heaven, not on earth, not in the hearts and minds of the people. The people are praying to God and asking for God, and they get no response. All the people have are the collective memories of how God has rescued them in the past and the hope that God might do so again in the future. And it's in the midst of this deep, deep darkness and grief that the prophet cries out, "Oh, that you would just tear open the heavens, Lord, and come down. Come down, Lord, to rescue us. Rescue us as you did in the past. Rescue us like you did when you parted the Red Sea. Rescue us like you did when you caused the Sinai to shake. Please come down, Lord, and rescue us from the darkness and despair that has engulfed our lives." Have you ever prayed that kind of prayer? I know I have. Lord, if you would just come into our midst and rescue us. Come and rescue us from our divisions. Come and heal our land. Lord, if you would just come and rescue us from our hatreds and our prejudices. Lord, if you would just come into the world, tear open the heavens and come down and do something. Do anything. Do something. Rescue us. Rescue us from the darkness. I love the fact that the prophet Isaiah is honest. He's honest in his feelings, honest about what he is experiencing, honest about the darkness that is often engulfs the world and often engulfs our lives. Honest about the way we often perceive God as hidden and absent. That's what the prophet laments. God is absent. God is hidden. There's a great gulf separating God from God's people. And the prophet is honest too as to what he feels is the reason for the gulf. It is our sinfulness, he says. Lord, we know you are hidden from us because of our sins. Our sins have caused you to withdraw for us. Our righteousness, our goodness is as filthy rags before you. Not even our goodness can bring God close. We often think that that's the key to be close with God, to get God to hear us, is our goodness. We try to be good, but our goodness isn't good enough. What God wants is not so much our goodness. What God wants is our faithfulness. God wants our willingness to listen, our willingness to follow, our willingness to be open to walking in the ways of the Lord. But the prophet acknowledges that God seems absent. And so he prays, "Lord, if you would just break into our world one more time, if you would just come days from Thanksgiving to Christmas can be especially difficult for many people, especially those who experience tragedy and loss, those who are experiencing their own personal darkness and despair, while everyone else is gearing up for the parties and the presents and the festivities. There are many people who are experiencing a deep ache, an ache that is very much exacerbated by the festiveness of this season. Mitch Albom, in his book, Tuesdays with Morrie, writes about the experience of a friend of his, a friend and teacher, Morrie Schwartz, who was told by his neurologist that he had Lou Gehrig's disease. Morrie recounted the experience that he was feeling when he heard that. He looked out the window and the sun was shining and people were going about their business. There was a lady who was putting coins into a parking meter, and another lady was bringing groceries out to her car, and it seemed like everybody was going about their day completely as if things were completely normal. And Morrie wanted to cry out, don't people know what's going on with me? Don't they know the pain that I'm feeling? Don't they know the darkness that is going on deep down inside of me? Don't they know? Maybe it's what you might be saying too in the midst of this season, this holiday season, in the midst of all the parties and the fun and the merrymaking. Maybe there's something going on inside of your life where you too are asking that. Don't they know? Don't they know what's going on with me? Don't they know that the darkness deep down inside of my soul? Don't they know that sense of loss that I'm experiencing this year? Don't they know the tragedy and the anxiety and the diagnosis that I've received? Don't they know what's going on? Several years ago, I was asked to preach the sermon at one of our presbytery meetings, something that I was honored to do. I was preparing to do that, and then a week before the presbytery meeting, I received a call from the presbytery saying that there had been a change to the docket, that there was going to be a young lady speaking right before the service, right before the sermon. And the young lady who was going to be speaking was the daughter of a beloved clergy member of our presbytery who had committed suicide. And his daughter was there to lift up his work and to give thanks for his ministry and for his work. But she was also there to help us to be mindful of the darkness that many people feel during this time of year. The darkness of depression. The darkness that attends many people's souls, not only in the midst of the festivities of this season, but sometimes even because of it. When I heard the news that she would be speaking, I thought to myself, boy, that's going to change up what I had planned to say. How in the world do I follow that? But luckily it was during the season of Advent, and the text that was assigned for that week was this very text, the text of the prophet Isaiah, crying out in despair, crying out with deep lamentation, crying out from the midst of his own darkness, Lord, when are you going to do something if you would only tear open the heavens and come down? I say that this morning simply because I want you to know, if you should be experiencing darkness in this season, for all of those who are experiencing loss, for all of those who are experiencing tragedy, for all of us for whom this season is not necessarily the glitter and the light promises to be for so many people, I want you to know that Advent is for you. This season is for you, it's for you, it's for me, it's for all of us. Advent is for all of those who are experiencing darkness. Because that's the way Advent begins. It begins with darkness. It begins with despair. It begins with the feeling of God forsaking us. But that's not where it ends. Advent is also about hope. Hope in what the prophet Isaiah has already told us, that God is our Father, that God does not remember iniquity forever, that God has rescued his people in the past, and God will do it again. Advent is about light that shines even in the midst of our deepest darkness. We know, of course, that God has answered Isaiah's prayer. Perhaps not in the way that Isaiah expected. Isaiah was expecting something big. He wanted something dramatic. He wanted God to break through. He wanted God to smash Israel's enemies. He wanted the mountains to quake. He wanted everyone to know that God had broken through, that God had torn through the darkness of our world. But the God who comes to be with us, the God who tears open the heavens, comes to us in the person of a little bitty baby. Little bitty vulnerable child. The Bible wants us to know that that's where we look for God, the God that sometimes appears to be hidden to us. We look for God in not in the usual places that we think God might hang out, but we look for God in all of those places where people are vulnerable. For all of those places where people are suffering. For all of those places that might seem to us to be God forsaken. The Bible says that's where we will find the God who comes to be with us. This morning we lit the candle of hope. We need to understand the difference between hope and optimism. We were talking about this on Wednesday night. As we look upon the world, there's very little to be optimistic about, in my opinion. There's wars and rumors of wars. People who are being systematically killed, all kind of uncertainty, very little to be optimistic about. But optimism often is grounded in some sense of what we can accomplish. It's often grounded in what we see around us. It's often grounded in what we think that the trends are saying, what we think the tea leaves are pointing. But hope isn't grounded in any of that. Hope doesn't care how dark the situation may be. It doesn't care how pessimistic the times might seem. It doesn't care about what the trends might be pointing. Hope doesn't care about any of that. Hope only cares about one thing. It is reminded of the promises of God. A God who loves us, a God who cares about us, a God who has promised never to forsake us, a God who has made us promises of his great love for you and for me and for the whole world. And so Advent reminds us this morning that even in the midst of the darkness that we might be experiencing, that there is light flickering in the darkness. It is the light that God has provided, God's self, the light of the God who has promised to tarry in to our world. I love that passage in Mark's Gospel of Jesus' baptism. We're told that the heavens are rent. The heavens are torn asunder. And God's Spirit redounds. God's Spirit comes down in the midst of the world. And ordinarily it would be a situation that would cause great fear and concern and anxiety. A holy God has broken into the world. A holy God whose countenance none of us can withstand. A holy God, a dangerous God, coming into the midst of our world. Who can withstand it? Who can withstand God's holy, righteous glory? Where do we find this holy God who is broken into the world? We find it on the person of Jesus Christ himself, humble, offering himself, standing wet in the middle of the Jordan, ready to embark upon his great liberating work. Not by making the mountains quake or by bringing fire, but by bringing the passion of his self-giving, sacrificing love to each and every one of us. Oh, that you would tear up in the heavens, Lord, and come down. If you would only come down. And that's exactly what God has done. He's come down to you. He's come down to me. He has pierced our darkness. And he has given us hope. Hope for our lives now and hope for the future. A hope that one day the darkness will be overcome. And then you and I can live as the children of light that God has called us. Gracious God, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning for this season of Advent, this season where we light a candle in the midst of the darkness to remind ourselves that we are people of hope, to remind ourselves that you have not forsaken us or forgotten us, to prepare ourselves for your coming to us again. We ask, Lord, that you help us to live as your light, help us as we continue to move into this season to be the people of hope that you have called us to be. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.